Have your Bibles with you. We're turning in 2 Peter. 1 Peter, sorry, chapter 2. 1 Peter, chapter 2. I just want to read two verses before I give a word of testimony of the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter, chapter 2, but just before we read God's word, we unite our hearts in a word of prayer, seeking God's face, knowing that we need the Lord's help in this meeting. Vain is the help of man, and therefore you who are the Lord's, you pray to that end, pray with me, that the Lord will bless this meeting. And you who are not saved, you ask God to speak to your soul. Lord, our Heavenly Father, in the quietness of this place, we thank Thee that we can come right into Thy presence, into the holiest of holies, made nigh by the blood of the Lamb. And we confess our utter unworthiness, our own inadequacy, and that we can do absolutely nothing without Thee. Therefore, we pray that Thou will intensify Thy presence, Thou will empty me of self and of sin, that Thou wilt fill me full of the Holy Ghost and with power, that Thou wilt speak with the voice that wakes the dead, make Thy people hear. We lift up our prayer for the remnant that is left, that Thou wilt pluck a people out from the brands as brands from the burning, and Thou wilt set them among kings and priests, for the glory of Thy precious name. For it's in Christ's name we ask all these things, for Thy glory alone. He must increase, and I must decrease. Therefore, hide us behind the cross, for it's in Christ's name we pray it. Amen. Just two verses found in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and verse 10. Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should shew forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness and to His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Mercy. Amen. We'll end the reading there, knowing that the Lord will bless the public reading of His word for His own name's sake. That marvelous hymn by Murray McShane, verse 3, I utter it as words of my testimony, chosen not for good in me, wakened up from wrath to flee, hidden in the Saviour's side, by the Spirit sanctified, teach me, Lord, on earth to show, by my love, how much I owe. Friends, I owe much. God saved me on the 1st of May 2006, showed me myself to myself, showed me that I was a sinner bound for hell, that I was born in sin, shapen and in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. I was born into an unconverted household, and yet I didn't have the privilege of being born into a Christian household. And yet, whether born into an unconverted household or a Christian household, I was born just the same as each individual in this meeting here tonight, from the minister to the babe in the cradle, born in sin, a child of wrath, dead in trespasses and in sins, on the road that leadeth to destruction, I was born in sin. At the age of 14, the first time I heard the preaching of God's Word, I went to Randallstown Free Presbyterian Church, along with a man, Ryan Smith. He goes here to the congregation, and he took me to that meeting, the first time I heard the preaching of God's Word, and I fell under deep conviction of sin, God picking me out amongst the crowd, speaking directly to me, telling me that I was a sinner, that I needed to be saved, except a man be born again. He cannot see the kingdom of God. And I went out of that meeting, continued on in the ways of the world, falling deeper and deeper into sin. The age of 19, I became really ill. Through pride, I wouldn't go to the doctors. My friends would tell me, Brian, you need to go. They seen that I wasn't well. But pride and my own heart, I would not go. 2 weeks later, I was nearly dead, rushed into hospital. I was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. And I remember in the edge of the hospital bed, crying unto the Lord for mercy to deliver me out of the situation that I was in. For I knew that I was to die that night, that I would go to a Christless eternity, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. I began recovering from hospital, yet there was no evidence of grace in the life. There was no confession with the mouth. There was no reading, no praying. There was no evidence that I was born again. There was no evidence that I was a child of God. And yet the Lord was drawing me on to Himself. I began working with a believer in God's providence, the same man that was instrumental before in taking me to a meeting. The Lord had His man. And he came into JJB Sports at that time where I was working. And he asked me, could I paint? And at that time, I hated JJB. I didn't want to be in it. And I just said, I can paint. What's there to painting? And he said that he was surprised because I handed him a notice in that day. And I began working with him anyway. And each day that man lived before me, he showed forth the praises of Him who have called him out of darkness into His marvelous light. And I seen a change in that man's life. And he would continually tell me of the way of salvation. And on the 13th of March 2006, I began working with him. And as I say, he told me things of the Bible, the way of salvation, the need to be born again. And I could see there was something different in that man's life to mine. And on the 1st of May 2006, Mr. Greer had the great joy of pointing me to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Shepherd and Bishop of our souls, the only way of salvation, for neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven, given among men whereby we must be saved. Mr. Greer pointed me to Jesus Christ. This man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down in the right hand of God. You see, friends, for a long time, I struggled with the assurance of salvation. Am I really a child of God? Am I really born again? And these things would flood my soul continually, flood my mind, unknown to those around me. Yet it was not unknown to God. For Noel Hughes had a mission here some time back, and the Word came not in word only, but in power. And the words came from heaven to my soul that night in that mission, Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. And I ask you, friend, in this meeting, You here without Christ, it's sins that need to be dealt with. And sins will be either dealt with in Christ or out of Christ. And I ask you, friend, by the authority of this book, what will you do with Christ? What think ye of Christ? He's my Saviour. He's my all in all. He's the only way of salvation. And I tell you, friend, flee from the wrath to come. Because sin will be punished. It was punished. It was punished at the cross, as we heard this morning, as Mr. Greer pointed to us. The one who cried, Eli, Eli, sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I thank the Lord for saving my soul, for leading me and guiding me into college. And yet I must say I ran away from such a thing. For as I look even now amongst the congregation, I say to myself, why me and not this person and that person? I feel like Gideon, I am the least of my father's house. Or rather, I feel like Paul, I am less than the least of all the saints. Is this grace given unto me, that I should preach the unsearchable riches of Christ? For a long time I struggled, is it the 2 year or the 4 year? In my own heart I would run away from the 4 year. I would say I'll do the 2, but not the ministry, not the ministry. And the college would continually come before me. No matter what I would do, no matter where I would turn, it would continually come before me. I felt like Jonah for a long time, like the college was my Nineveh. And I would run away from it, and it was actually Mark Telford. I thought it was George McConnell, but it was mistaken identity. It was actually Mark Telford that preached a sermon on Jonah. And me and a young friend from this congregation, we went down to Lisburn and we heard a message on Jonah. And then we went to Castle Wellin that weekend. And again, the exact same message was preached on Jonah. Again, the Lord was saying to me, wrong way, Brian. I even lifted a book from the library, the bookshelves in Castle Wellin, and the very book I left it was Wrong Way, Jonah. And the Lord not only spoke once, but twice, but thrice, 3 times, and I knew that it was the college I had to prepare. And so I went to Mr. Greer, and I... Per Mr. Greer, I don't know how many times went to him. And I always went, is it the 2 year, is it the 4 year? And I didn't want to be pushed in. I didn't want to be forced in. I wanted to be led in. And the Lord's led me in. I commence my studies tomorrow, DV. And I feel so unworthy, but yet God has called me. Because I sent a message to a few people in this congregation, those I could trust to spread before the Lord and pray to that end, that the Lord would give a clear word concerning going into college. And a few days later, I was working in a brother's, Mark McCauley. And I asked him the certain question, is a certain someone still thinking about going into college? And it was as if Mark had shunned the question completely. And he said, what about you? Now, I was taken back by this. And I was like, how's he know? This was what was going through my mind. And He said the very words, I know a man who was praying to that end concerning going into college. And he prayed for three promises. And he had to wait a long time in that third promise. And the Lord was speaking. I believe in audible voices, but I believe in God's direction, leading and guiding from the Word of God. And that compulsion, and that leading was continually upon me, for the Lord had already given three promises. For thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech or of an hard language, to the house of Israel. Tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem, till ye be endued with power from on high. And thirdly, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And even then I still try to run away from it. And Providence's three people in the congregation, night after night, what about college? What about college? What about college? And I was working in the mints and was sharp and free, and God broke me. I fell to my knees in submission, for this is the way, walk ye in it. And here I am on the verge of going into the Whitfield College of the Bible. I feel my own inadequacy. And as I've already said, I am less than the least of all the saints. But this grace is given unto me that I should preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. Friends, I want to, in closing, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians chapter 5, and again we'll just bow briefly, asking for God's blessing upon His truth. Lord, our Heavenly Father, we pray that Thou wilt bless the words of Thy mouth, and that Thou wilt do it for Thine own glory, that none would be seen but Jesus Christ. For it's in Christ's name we ask these things, for Thy glory alone. Amen. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. What heaven is in the eye and hope of a believer. The true child of God, he looks upon it as a house or habitation, a dwelling place, a resting place, our Father's house where there are many mansions. It is a house in the heavens, in that high and lofty place, in that holy place that far excels the buildings of this earth and is of no comparison whatsoever. For it is a building of God, whose builder and maker is God, and is worthy of its author. The happiness of the future state is what God has prepared for those that love Him. It is a place where godly relatives and saints of old dwell forevermore. Those who have gone to be with Christ, which is far better It is expected that this happiness shall be enjoyed immediately after death, as soon as our earthly house of this tabernacle is dissolved. The pins will be drawn, the cords will be loosed, and the body will return to the dust as it was. And when this comes to pass, then comes the house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And those who have walked with God here shall dwell with God forever. But friends, it is not so for the unsaved in this meeting. For you who are without Christ, the place in which you're heading is not a place of rest, but rather unrest, place of misery and torments, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. It is a fire that cannot be put out. It is a place of outer darkness, where there is no light, not even a glimmer, no hope of it. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, place of great sorrow, where there'll be endless, continual, constant, eternal weeping. Your companions will be that of Judas Iscariot. Good were it for that man if he had never been born. Better would it have been if his earthly house of this tabernacle had never been raised up or came into existence. For Judas went on to his own place where the fire cannot be put out. Speaks of those who have heard the gospel continually, message after message. Gospel meeting after gospel meeting, and reject the gospel and fall headlong into a Christless eternity. The Bible speaks of it, for it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Friend, it's solemn. It would have been better to never hear the gospel than to reject it and fall headlong into a Christless eternity. And so, with God's help and the time afforded to us, this, the 15th of September, Sunday evening, I want us simply to look briefly at two men, two earthly houses that were raised up, two earthly houses that were taken down. One soul went into heaven to be with Christ, which is far better. One soul went into God's hell, into the everlasting burnings, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Turn with me, if you will, to Luke's Gospel. Luke's Gospel, chapter 16. Luke's Gospel, chapter 16. Commencing a reading there at verse 19, let us hear God's word. And there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they would repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Amen. We'll end the reading there, knowing that God will add his blessing to the public reading of his word for his own name's sake. You see, friends, the body is temporal. The earthly house is but a tabernacle. No sooner is it raised up than it is taken down again. And we sung the hymn earlier, life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf. Friend, you're only here for a little time, and only what's done for Christ will last. These two men, two earthly houses raised up, two earthly houses taken down, and one soul went into heaven, and one soul went into hell. We have here two men dying, because death comes to both lots. Death comes to the saved and unsaved. Death comes to the godly and ungodly. Death comes to the rich, the poor. God is no respecter of persons. We're a dying people, friends. Soon we'll be gone. Our voices will no longer be heard. Our feet will no longer tread these streets. You will no longer sit in this congregation. Death comes to the just and unjust. Where will you be? For this question comes to you and me. Where will you be in eternity? Eternity, eternity. Where will you be in eternity? This question comes to you and me. Where will you be in eternity? God's heaven, to be with Christ, which is far better, or God's hell, that place which was originally designed for the devil and his angels? Where will you be? It's Christ or out of Christ. Lazarus was saved, for he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And he's gone to be with Christ, which is far better. But this rich man, We don't know his name. He's in hell. Even as we're sat here, even now, and such is the torments that his tongue is cleaved to the roof of his mouth, and he's still gasping for water. But my friend, there's no mercy in hell, for it is endless punishment. And friends, sin will take you further than you want to go. You see, the rich man, he enjoyed the pleasures of sin. Sin is pleasurable, but my friend, it's only for a season. It's only for a little while. And then comes the house not made with hands. The soul will return to God who gave it. It's either God's heaven or God's hell. A time to be born, a time to die. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. It is appointed by divine counsel. As your birth, so is your death. Friends, the body is only temporal, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Just as you bring the kettle to boil, there appears a vapor from its spout, and then it vanisheth away. Or you go in front of a glass window, a mirror, and you breathe out from your mouth, there appeareth a vapor for a little time, and then vanisheth away. Friend, that's your life. God describes your life as a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. The body is temporal, for dust thou art, and dost thou wilt return. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Man became a living soul. We read of two men, two bodies. Both men died. The rich man also died and was buried. Both men died. My friend, the soul is eternal. Soul will live on forever. That which God breathed into the nostrils, the breath of life, man became a living soul. Friend, where are you heading? It's either heaven or hell. Either saved or unsaved. Who is on the Lord's side? Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Repent and believe the gospel. You see, Lazarus, he was a child of God. And though he suffered here in this scene of time, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. He was there at the rich man's gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. He was full of sores. The dogs came and licked his sores. The rich man, he enjoyed the pleasures of sin. He fared sumptuously every day. He was clothed in fine linen and purple. And purple was an expensive dye. For we read in Acts 16 of Lydia, that woman the Lord converted. That woman the Lord opened her heart and saved her Well, she was a seller of purple, and it was an expensive dye. And you see, the rich man, he was caught up in the things which he could see, the things which he could feel. His heart was set in the things which are temporal. For while we look at the things which are seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And I ask you, friend, what's your heart settled on? Is your heart settled in earthly things, in temporal things? Or is your heart settled in the treasure which is in the right hand of God? Friend, repent and believe the gospel. Get to Christ, the only way of salvation, the one who suffered the torments of hell, the equivalent of it. For he cried, I thirst. And such was the thirst that Christ had suffered. He's there in the place of sinful men. He's there suffering the just for the unjust. He's there. He became man in order to save a people from their sins. Because if he didn't become man, he couldn't save men. But my friend, he took upon himself an earthly house like ours, an earthly tabernacle like ours. He couldn't sin because he was God manifest in flesh. There was no guile found in his mouth. He was full of sores on the cross. Man, he suffered for sinners like you and me. His blood was shed. He fulfilled the law. He did that which we could not do. And friend, he's the only way of salvation. The church is not the place of deliverance. Your works cannot deliver you. It's Christ and Christ alone. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Friend, your righteousness you have none. For we're unrighteous, we're filthy, we're vile, full of sin. You need to flee from wrath to come. And friend, I have no doubt that Lazarus was God's man, because the word of God says it. And he was at the rich man's gate. And I have no doubt that that man preached on to rich man. I have no doubt that he preached the gospel. For we read of the rich man asking in hell that Lazarus would go to his father's house and testify unto them. And friend, how could he request something like that if he never heard him preach? Friend, flee from wrath to come. Escape for thy life. Flee to the only way of salvation. For it is at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. Friend, burdens are lifted at Calvary. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take the invitation that is offered to you today. Refuse not him that speaketh from heaven. Christ offers salvation to you this night. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. For tomorrow, there may not be one. These men, they died. Both earthly houses were raised up. Both earthly houses were taken down. One soul went into heaven. One soul went into hell. Get to Christ, for he will abundantly pardon all that come to God by him. For the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world, for whomsoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Comes to remembrance, and I remember going to a man's house, and I offered him a gospel tract. And he said, "Brian, I don't want it." I says, "Can I come in and speak with you about these things?" For my friend said to me that he wasn't so well. The earthly house was beginning to sway. The cords were beginning to be loose. The body would be no more, and the soul would go out into God's eternity. And that man rejected the invitation. And that, as his coffin was brought out, there was a song played, "I Did It My Way." And I tell you, friend, if you do it your way, it will be the wrong way. Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Friend, flee from wrath to come. Flee to the Christ of God, for the message does not change. Repentance toward God and faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. May God bless all that has been of himself. I just ask Mr. Greer if he would come now and bring our meeting to a close.